Hello, and again, welcome to the Aperture Science Computer Aided Enrichment Centre.
Hello, you're listening, it's James here, recording a very quick boo on Saturday evening as I sit in the studio preloading something called Portal 2. Probably one of the most anticipated games in the Hart household, and given the amount of advertising it's had, I think it's probably one of the first games I've actually seen TV ads for, 30-second spots for. And when I was up in Manchester a couple of weeks ago, there were massive circular stickers on the floor of the concourse advertising the game. So clearly they want people to buy it. And I think it is fantastic. Portal is probably my favourite game of all time. And if you haven't tried it, I dare say you can buy it for very little these days. It's based on the Half-Life 2 engine developed by Valve, but it's not one of those shooty-shooty games. In fact, I was sort of thinking about the development of games, and we were talking about it on the Bagel Tech Big Show yesterday, and hundreds of millions of pounds go into the cinematics and the action for games like Call of Duty series and Grand Theft Auto and the like. However, the Portal series is very much a puzzle game, but it's also quite an immersive one and one full of character and humour and things like that. And I think the Portal site, which is thinkwithportals.com, really does capture the humour that it has, because they've got these spoof YouTube videos and things like that, and it really is so funny. One of the principal characters in it, he's somebody you're supposed to help. The protagonist who you control along is called Wheatley, and he's voiced by Stephen Merchant, so you can get an idea of how kind of lighthearted it is. There's also a cooperative mode, which is why both Christopher and I have bought the game. So you play two little robots who are a little bit like Wenlock and the other one. I can't remember his name. It's another named after a hospital, isn't it? You're probably shouting at me now. The characters from the 2012 Olympics thing, but these two basically help each other out, and it becomes very involving, and I think you can go and do challenges or you can carry on with the narrative of the game. Portal itself was quite a short game. I think it was something like an 8-hour play, which for 10-15 quid isn't bad, really. In fact, I bought the orange box, which contained Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and 2, Team Fortress 2, which Christopher loves, even though he's a bit young to be playing it, and, of course, Portal. So it was a very good deal. Portal 2 is 25 quid-ish, and promises to be quite a lot. In fact, I've got co-op play planned with both Christopher and a mate on the internet as well, so I dare say we're going to have some good fun with it. The other interesting factors about the game is that Valve don't just release a game. They come up with really novel ideas to get viral marketing on it, and they are simply genius. One of the things are called ARGs, not augmented reality games, which is where you go into real life and sort of point your camera phone at things. Although actually there have been areas where websites have directed people to real life places where there have been clues and interesting things about Portal 2. But also there have been little bits and pieces in videos, in YouTube videos, on websites, on forums, on other computer games that have been sort of injected into it, with little numbers on the right-hand corner or sort of squished up photographs that when you run a particular algorithm on it, you get another picture. And these are screenshots of the game or little bits of narrative. And people have been getting terribly, terribly excited about all these little secrets. And it's almost built a subculture, turned the game into a cult thing, even before it's released. Of course, the risk is that it could be disappointing in the end, but one hopes it isn't and it delivers on that expectation. The way that Valve work, I have a funny feeling they probably do. The coup de grace has been that there was a countdown, I think, yesterday, that the countdown reached zero. And rather than the game being released earlier, because it's due out on the 19th, I believe, what they did is they said, right, we've got this thing called the potato sack. There's a bunch of indie games, independent game developers who've developed games, some of which are brilliant, that are sold through the Steam application delivery group. Rather than going out and buying the CD, you can click on a button, use your credit card or whatever, and download these games for, 2-3 quid, some of them. If you buy one of these, we will add it up, and the more games that get bought, the sooner the game will be, the Portal 2 will be released. And so it takes minutes and hours off the release time, which is just genius, because it acts as an incentive to be able to get these small developers, these independent developers, a chance to get their games out into the marketplace. And it really, really is working. If you go to aperturescience.com/GLaDOS@home. Beth was getting quite cross because you put the GLaDOS at home into Twitter and it thinks there's someone called home. Oops. You should have thought about that one. But that gives the current CPUs that these games are running on and how much time is being taken off the launch. So all in all, I think it's very, very clever indeed. And I'm very much looking forward to playing the game. And I'm just so impressed with the amount of innovation that's gone on. In fact, some of the games that have been developed, the independent games, there's one called... What's it called? Audio Surf, which basically is a very simple thing, but basically it uses the same premise as you expect on one of these games where you have to sort of zoom left and right to get away from the obstacles. But what you do is you load an MP3 into it, and as the MP3 plays, topology of the game changes, and so you've got to pick up things when the beats are on and up and down and round corners and things depending on the shape of the music, which is very clever because then the path changes depending on which track you play. And the very clever thing was that GLaDOS, who's the antagonist in the original Portal 1 episode, I have to say, Portal, for a game, absolute genius. Please do get a hold of it, if not for anything else than the song at the end. Fantastic piece of music by Jonathan Colton, who's a genius anyway. The character GLaDOS infiltrates the game and says, I don't care what you've chosen, I like your choice of music. You used to have a good choice of music. Here's the one I want. And they use a track called The Device Has Been Modified, which again is another piece of fan music. And it just really impressed me how much they have an idea of getting their audience and getting their audience involved and enjoying the whole sort of experience. So Portal 2, it might or might not live up to the hype, but it doesn't really matter at this stage because we haven't spent any money. Well, I've spent money on it. But it's been a spectacle and it's been really interesting to watch the hype of it. If you're not into computer games, well, maybe it doesn't interest you at all. And of course, if you play 3D games where the walking aroundy one, first person things, there is a chance you might get travel sick or just not really take to that kind of gaming. But you get the opportunity to look over someone's shoulder and watch them play Portal 2. Maybe you'll find it as entertaining as we hope we will. So Portal 2, out on Tuesday, or possibly Monday, or possibly even tomorrow. I'm going to miss it because I'm going out on business in the next couple of days. So Christopher will have to report back when I arrive home. Have a lovely weekend, and I shall speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for participating in this Aperture Science computer-aided enrichment activity.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Are you still there?